Hey, what's up? Welcome back to On the Block. I'm Madison McGee, your host, reality TV producer, and Big Brother superfan. I have a lot to say about this episode. I'm going to try to keep it short because there's an interview after this, of course. And I just, wow, you guys. We leave off last Thursday night eviction episode. Nicola sent packing. There's a lot of emotion left over after, for lack of a better word, after this eviction. And it's not just sad or happy. It's this kind of like changing of the tides in the house where people are going to have to start making decisions, I think, a little earlier than they thought. And we see this realization come in a lot of different ways. So as we saw in tonight's episode, Daniel clearly is having like a mental breakdown where I think he's having to come to terms with the fact that he sent his own best friend and only ally and only chance of making it far in this game out the door. We see him blame Monty. He calls out Michael for being a good strategic player. I think he's just honestly like going nuts. He's making valid points about Monty being a good player, Michael being a good player, but it just seems very misplaced. And it's like he's projecting that he's very upset that he sent his best friend out the door, which obviously who wouldn't feel that way? And he doesn't explicitly say it, but I think there's this feeling of, I've ostracized someone and now it's coming back on me. And I just think that there's a lot going on in his head. And we watch it a little bit in this episode, but it's just kind of interesting to see it unfold. And he's obviously going to be grasping at straws trying to stay, but I think he, in his heart of hearts, knows that he's probably going out the door, but is doing what he can to make it as far as he can. I think at this point, a lot of people are probably thinking jury, 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 make it to jury. You get more TV time. You get paid for the whole time. Whatever they're thinking, they just want to make it to jury. And so they're not as much. There are people probably not thinking as much about winning at this point as they are just making it to this milestone, which I understand. So he's probably just trying to get to jury instead of leaving this week and having to go back and have to watch everything in real time. It's just very interesting. So we see him spiral at the top of the episode. Something that I want to call out right now is that at the end, or not at the end, after the episode on Thursday night, we did watch Kyle sort of take a turn. Again, it's this weird something. There's like something in the water. Something is going on in that house where people are like having a snap, right? Like they're breaking, they're showing their true colors. They're doing whatever you want to call it. But like something is happening to a lot of these house guests. And Kyle starts to question the motives of specifically Monty, Taylor, and Joseph, and throws in Terrence, Jasmine, and Indy as well. An interesting group of people to kind of clump together. People who really haven't been working together. People who have been clearly on opposite sides of the house. People who've been blindsided by the other people. Assuming that they're all working together. Now, let's dive into this because why not? We had the cookout in BB23, which was a group of house guests who are all African American who decided to work together to ensure that there would be a black winner. Their motive was to have the first black winner. Their strategy was to all work together to make sure that they made it to the final six. Then there would be no debate. If only black people are in the final six, there will be a black winner. There's a difference in what is happening this year. There are not six black females in the house who are saying, if we all work together and we get to the end, there will definitely be a black female winner. I don't think it's wrong for Joseph, who is Middle Eastern, to say that he wants to be the first person to represent that group of people and win. I don't think it's wrong for Taylor to say she wants to be the first black female house guest to win. And it's interesting that he immediately thinks that they all are all working together to ensure that like each other gets that first title, because that's like if Taylor helps Joseph get to the end and Joseph wins, there's still not a black female house guest winning. So it just doesn't, that logic in and of itself to me doesn't make a lot of sense. And at the end of the day, you would assume everyone there wants to win. So if there's an accolade that comes with it or a representation value added to that person winning, that's great. But everyone there wants to win. So that'd be like saying, I don't want to work with any of these people, any 15 other people, because they want to win. Well, that's part of the game. You have to work with people to get to the end. So it's just, it seems really weird. It seems obviously targeted towards the non-white and Indy, who is not a natural born citizen. It seems very targeted at this group of people. It seems oddly targeted at this group of people because they do not seem to be not only working together, they don't seem to like each other. Like, it's very clear that Jasmine and Indy do not like Taylor. We kind of watch in this episode, Taylor is now in a festy bestie group with Indy and Alyssa. And in the episode, the edited episode, they show Alyssa sort of talking with Taylor, trying to say, you know, I think we're good. You've been on the block a lot. We were just on the block, you know, having a normal conversation, and Indy wanting nothing to do with it. So to assume that just because Indy is Brazilian and wants to be the first Brazilian house guest to win Big Brother US, that she's working with Taylor is such a strange thing to me. Like, I can't even be like mad. Like, I want to be like yelling at my camera and like mad about it, but like, I can't even be mad because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it really doesn't make any sense. And this person is working with you, like working with you to have an alliance, is now in a festy bestie duo with your showmans. It just, like, all of it is so weird. It's just so strange. I'm trying to even, like, you know, I try to see other people's perspectives of how they could see certain things. And this one just doesn't make sense to me. It's all rooted in, like, a weird bias, but also just like truly makes no sense. Like, I can't even be like, oh, well, he's just racist. Like, cause that doesn't even make sense because Indy's thrown in there. Like, none of it makes sense. It just doesn't make sense. Anyways, that's happening. That's been happening on the feeds. They didn't show it on the episode, of course. I don't think that they're going to, from a producer standpoint. I've never worked on Big Brother. I just don't know if that will ever fit into the narrative of the show, which is so interesting and weird and sad. But I don't know what's going to happen from here, how it's going to play out. But if word gets around about this, Kyle could definitely be going home this week. They are trying to backdoor Daniel, which if Daniel and Kyle go up on the block, they could easily send Kyle home. I think that might be a smart play. I think that might be a good idea. I think him getting out pre-jury with all of these kind of bias opinions coming out could fare well for a lot of these house guests in the end. But also there's a risk in keeping Daniel. I mean, he's been obviously rude to Taylor, just like really not nice, having these now like really loud arguments with other people, not just Taylor. Now he's been yelling at Monty, he's been yelling about Michael. It doesn't seem safe to keep him. So it does feel like you're kind of torn. I don't know what's going to happen, but I did want to address that. I know that that didn't happen on the episode, but I did want to talk about that because it's something that is very uncomfortable to watch on the live feeds. And if you're watching this, if you found this podcast, listening to this, whatever you're doing, you probably are a big fan if you're listening to my podcast. So I did want to address that. I did see that. I saw the clips, and it's just strange and unacceptable. And truly, it's just weird. It doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. But racism doesn't make sense. So I guess that's the answer to that. We are going to be talking a little bit about Kyle and Alyssa in this episode because my interview is with Holly Allen from Big Brother 21. She comes on and talks a lot about her experience, her thoughts on this season so far, and her thoughts on showmances. Obviously was a part of one. We've got one going on this season that could really take a turn and change the trajectory of the season. So we talk a lot about that, but that is a little bit later. Anyways, getting ahead of myself. So just going back to Sunday night's nomination episode, I did want to address the Kyle thing. So now diving back into the episode, we're watching a lot of interesting storylines kind of unfold. We they love Jasmine. We know this. We see a lot of Jasmine. She always gets kind of a quirky, weird segment. This time it's the muffin segment, muffin gate, whatever you want to call it. Turner, I love Turner. My thoughts on him have really evolved. They went from kind of no thoughts at all to I really do like him. I think he's so funny. I think he's super nice. I love that him and Taylor have like kind of an interesting bond and relationship. I just would like to see him go far in the game. I also think that he's making for great TV kind of unknowingly. Like the muffin thing is hilarious, but not for Jasmine. Like it's Jasmine's segment, but I actually think it's funnier that it's kind of about Turner eating the muffin. So good for him. I think he's really offering a lot and something that I have really enjoyed watching. We watch Michael have this kind of interesting debate internally about when is the right time to take the shot at Daniel and when is the right time to turn on the leftovers. And Brittany's in the room for this because they obviously have a final two. But in my opinion, it's just not the right time to turn on the leftovers. It's super early. I think we're forgetting, or they're forgetting, we know, we're not forgetting, that we're really early into the season. We haven't even hit jury yet. So to turn on your alliance now could create a lot of unnecessary enemies when he's also positioned in a spot where he's kind of good with both sides. So if he's able to let everyone stick around as long as it makes sense to let them go after each other, you could definitely see like Kyle and Alyssa teaming up and going after Monty and Joseph. I definitely think that Taylor, Michael, and Brittany have the strongest positioning in that alliance because A, they have a final three, they'll protect each other, and B, they're going to be left over, again, not intentional, when everything falls out. And I think that that is a key position to be in, especially right now. And if he could do a little bit of dirty work for the alliance, that just buys him brownie points down the line, depending on who's left when everything is said and done, when people start taking those shots at each other. It gets him brownie points with Monty if he gets out Daniel. And keeping Alyssa, Taylor, and Indy off the block obviously gets him brownie points with Kyle. I don't know. I just think it's a win-win right now, but we'll see what ends up happening. So we do end the episode with Joseph, Monty, and Terrence on the block as alleged pawns at the moment until Michael decides what he wants to do in the long term if the veto gets used. And it's interesting because they are willing to go up. You can see that they have a lot of trust in their alliance. Maybe blindfully so. Maybe every eviction this year is going to be someone pooching themselves. But we will see what happens. I just feel like things are about to get really juicy. And it's kind of turned. We've seen a lot of drama unfold in the last few weeks. But I just have this feeling with the things that are transpiring right now on the feeds and just with this group of people. And you've got a big alliance dominating the game. It's going to get messy and it's going to get interesting. And from a viewer perspective, it's going to get really fun. So I'm excited. I hope that nothing gets too personal. That's always my hope. I just feel like things have gotten a little out of hand in the beginning of the game that I hope it remains game throughout the rest of the time. But with the things Kyle is saying, turning on his own alliance, things could get really interesting. So we will see. But for now, let's talk showmances. Let's talk fun. Let's chat with Holly Allen about her experience on Big Brother not that long ago, what she's up to now, which is not doing reality TV, and her thoughts on this season. I would love if you could like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you're listening or watching. Here's my interview with Holly Allen. I am here with Holly Allen. Second place from BB21.
Yeah, the non-winner.
But you made it really close. And in my opinion, should have won. I've actually talked about this before.
In my heart, I won. Because I came out of it with more valuable things.
Yeah.
You know.
Life lessons.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of life lessons, a really thick skin, and a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So cheesy, but whatever.
I mean, and you got to live in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge.
I went on Big Brother and lasted 99 days on Big Brother. That's a dub.
And honestly, sure. That's probably the longest of a lot of people because I think they're trying to make the season shorter. And now they do live move-in, so that cuts out a whole week. So it's like,
Yeah.
You're one of the longest for a single season.
Yeah. And one of the longest that never got nominated. I never was nominated.
Oh my God.
There's like six of us or something that made it past day 80 or some, there's some stat, I forget, but.
Never on the block.
But that's like a cool claim to fame. I went on the block one time ever as a replacement at the very end when there were no other options.
Oh, right. Right. Wow.
So yeah, I was the only person never nominated, which is cool.
That's really
I mean,
great.
I think it's cool.
No, that I feel like that's a feat. I mean, yeah. That's a resume builder. Again, a reason I think
not
you
a good enough resume
I
builder.
I think you should have won. But
people forget that part. I'm like, that's a cool. Yeah.
That's cool. Great. Legacy. I mean, I think that's like a hard thing to do in Big Brother for sure.
Yeah.
So
it's really easy to piss people off and it's really easy to have the house turn on you. And that certainly happened. But
yeah. Like anyway. In the house, we can talk about your experience first.
Whatever.
And then we'll dive into this
whatever
season.
You want.
wherever you want to go. Get the tough stuff out of the way.
Let's go for it.
We know that you're friends with a lot of people now in real life. We see you hanging out with like Tommy and Nick.
I love him.
Some people from your season. Mm-hmm. In the house, were you close with anyone besides the obvious?
Yep. I think I was like, the fact that I'm good friends with Nick is so funny. Because he's like the one person I was like, well, I'm not going to be friends with him outside the house. Like, I did not. I hope he's not watching, listening, whatever.
He has been a guest before.
Okay, well, I really did not think we were going to be friends, but he's literally my brother. Like, I love him. And we have, like, the deep heart-to-hearts of, like, shit that matters. And we really, like, helped each other grow and, like, stay accountable and stuff like that after the show. So it was, like, that's where we really bonded. But yeah, I was like really close with Christy and Sis and Tommy on the show. And we had a final four that they never showed.
Interesting.
It was, yeah, first and final four was our alliance name.
The four of you without Mickey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have stabbed him in the back so hard to protect those four. But they turned on me. So then I was like, okay, I had no choice. But because we had that alliance name because the four of us were the last four standing on the first HOH comp. And which I threw, even though people, like, this is such an argument of whether or not you should try to win the first HOH comp. I know that probability of then ending up winning is pretty high, but I just didn't want any sort of target. So I dropped, I like aimed to get third place. And so I dropped right after Sis, before Tommy, is that what it was? Anyway, so the four of us had a final four and we were super, super close. But then they made a deal with the entire house to get me out. So then our friendship kind of wavered a bit. And then Jackson put Christy and Sis on the block, which they thought I had a part of. I obviously didn't because we had very separate HOHs. But anyway, so our friendship was a little rocky. But
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
It was a little dramatic.
They definitely didn't show this final four.
I know. They never showed it. Yeah, they don't show a lot of alliances. They also never showed that, like, Kat and I had a final two. Like, we had so many discussions. I would have, again, thrown Mickey to the freaking wolves to protect Kat.
Wow.
She was my final two. I never had a final two with him, ever.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Never.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't show a lot.
That is so interesting.
But, yeah, my final four, because it was, like, Jack and Jackson were the other two that were in the six shooters, but we all, like, would have discarded them easily.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the four that of us were way
tighter. That is fascinating. Yeah. That actually brings up a really good point in, like, a lot of times when people come on, we talk about either they were on Big Brother and we talk about their strategy, or mm-hmm. they were on another show and they are like, if I was on Big Brother, this would be my strategy.
Yeah.
I think about that first HOH comp a lot, especially watching this new season. I'm always eyeing, like, okay, who's trying to win this?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Kind of. There's these, like, superstitions in Big Brother, right?
Yeah.
If you're the first person in the
door,
you're not going to win. Yeah. If you win the first HOH, you probably could win. Mm-hmm. So what were you thinking, or what did you know about the game that you were thinking when you went in?
See, I wanted to play the game the way I've, like, played life and the way I've gotten through life. People always underestimate me. And I've worked a lot of my life in male-dominated areas. Like, I grew up on a ranch, and I was the rancher's daughter, and the other wranglers would always, like, just buy by default underestimate me. And it was like, okay, well, I'm going to prove you, go ahead with your assumptions, but I'm going to prove you wrong. And I worked on a vineyard where it was a lot of physical labor, and I was the only girl for a long time, and I got paid less than the guys. Yeah. In this century. And it was so unfortunate, but then, you know, I was like, whatever, I'm just going to prove you wrong. And people would come to the vineyard and they would always be so impressed and like, wow, Holly, you just really surprised us with your knowledge. And I was like, yeah, well, tell that to my boss. So I'm just kind of used to that. So I wanted to go in and play under the radar and not show my strengths and just play a very quiet game. So in that first HOH comp, I was like, well, I could win this, but like, do I want to? I don't think I do. And I know that it can enhance your chances of winning or whatever. But it was just not my strategy right out the gate. So, and Christy won, and she did then, especially because she had a 2-week HOH because live feeds didn't come on for the first week. So Christy had 2 weeks up there. And so she really did have power over the house. So I was like, damn, maybe I should have done that. Maybe I should have tried to win.
Yeah. I mean, all of any alliance that's being formed in those first week or two, you know, you're included. You're the HOH. You're deciding who gets nominated. So you're involved in all of those conversations. And then you get to kind of pick who to work with moving forward. But you have a target on your back.
Right. So it's like, and that stays, you know, the whole season. So it's like, it's tricky. But instead, I then became really close with Christy, and game and personal. So I slept in the HOH room the whole first 2 weeks, me, Sis, and Christy, the three of us, which I don't think they aired that either. The three of us slept in that room for 2 weeks. So I literally like lived in the HOH room.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I think 50% of the 50%, I think I counted the days.
Wow.
I spent like 50 days in the HOH room or something.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Since your season, I think, I'm not sure if they did this for All Stars, but at least for BB23 and BB24, we've had live move-ins.
I know.
So we've not missed a whole week of game.
I prefer that and so much.
I'm wondering if they'll keep it up. I hope that they do. It's there's a lot. I mean, I interviewed Jess. I talked with Nick as well. There's a lot you miss in that first week.
A lot.
Without live feeds.
A lot. And it's so hard. A full week, it's so impossible to put things into context. And that's why there was so, there was a lot that was misinterpreted from our cast, because you'd miss out on a lot of pivotal stuff.
So. Yeah. And we see it now. I mean, I talk with people just in my day to day who only watch the edited episodes. Mm-hmm. And I was actually texting with a friend, and the people that she liked from this season are people that I hate because I watch the feed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, and then I have to check and be like, oh, I guess on the episode, like, they do look kind of good. Right. Like, if you're only watching this, of course you think these people are great. But I'm watching them all day and I'm hearing these conversations that don't make it in the show. And it feels like you're watching two completely different shows. Like, it's so interesting what gets picked for the episode.
And then there's another show, which is the real show, which is what feeds don't even see. Because I will argue with live feeders until I'm, like, blue in the face. That people that are like, and I know I'll probably get backlash from just saying this now, but
I already know what you're people, about to say.
But, like, even if you watch feeds, it is not the full story. And people will be like, well, I know what happened because I watch feeds. And it's like, not really. You don't. Because even still, like, they do cut. They'll specifically change cameras and whatever. And anyway, so when I started, and I only know that from, well, when people would tell me things that happened. And I was like, that's actually not at all what happened. Or people who would watch me on feeds and say when I would start talking, they'd cut away. And, like, saying certain things, they'd cut away. So, anyway, you see way more on feeds, but it's still not the whole picture.
Yeah, it is interesting. We've had some moments of this and then moments of people arguing, obviously, the opposite, that we get enough, right?
It's way more than the episode. Just the episode is, like,
Definitely not enough.
Barely anything.
And we saw last year with kind of an interesting situation that I don't think we see as often, but it was the Whitney Claire thing with Sandy Hook. And And that was clearly a moment of we did not catch
the whole
that whole conversation. Yeah. And it had like detrimental effects.
Right. So there's like moments like that that it's like, well, and it's not, it's rare, you know, for the most part feeds catch a lot, but it's like there are some things that, yeah.
Yeah. So interesting.
And just like little things, because every camera doesn't catch everything. So like, even, I don't know, like the littlest things of how people treat each other that aren't captured, that like build up, like, and just like, I don't know, just energy
vibes,
too. It's just different.
Yeah.
It's so different watching the feeds after being in the house. And I'm like, you can't pick up on the energy that's in there.
Yeah. And that's fair. I mean, we are simply, for lack of a better term, flies on the wall. I know that's the name of the production company, but that's what we are. We aren't like in the room contributing to the conversation.
Yeah.
So it is different. It's like,
it's
Joa
so
watching this instead of participating. Like, it's still a level outside of it, even if we were to watch all day.
Yeah.
It we're not in it, and it's different, and it's been,
and it's hard to explain that to people. I'm like, I can't, honestly, I can't even put it into words. It's just not the same.
Yeah. You know? It's so interesting. What was the most shocking thing about playing Big Brother?
About like being on it? I was not expecting the boredom to that extent and like the mind numbing, like, and also I'm somebody who struggles with anxiety. And so just the silence, and, you know, I'm like very outdoorsy and I'm used to being outside. I had no idea that we're only allowed outside two days a week, pretty much. I had no idea. I didn't know there was no windows at all, like no sunlight. So I wasn't expecting to like get vitamin D deficient, you know, stuff like that. It's like, why would I think, oh, my body's going to like, you know, not be able to perform as well just in general, because you're going to lack vitamins and sunlight, and your internal clock, like, especially for the women, our internal clocks got all wonky because like you don't have you don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
You don't. Like, your body can't regulate. It was very weird. Like, that threw me for a loop. And, yeah, just the mind-numbing boredom. Like,
oh, my
silence.
Gosh.
The silence.
Yeah, your season actually, in a maybe unintentional way, kind of highlighted a lot of, like, mental health impacts of reality TV. I mean, we had Nick, who was a therapist, and Kat, who was one of the rare people who was actually allowed to take any sort of prescribed medication.
Oh, and, naps and meds.
And naps. And
yeah, that
so
built
it kind
resentment
of,
towards
it
her.
It sparked,
for us,
yeah,
for sure.
An interesting conversation that we noticed this year with Paloma, who we don't exactly know what happened, but there are theories that potentially she was denied medication.
Which happens. That happened to me as well.
So what was that like? I mean, you're prescribed this by a doctor.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like it's all established before you go into the house. And like, you know, for me, I definitely should have been more transparent about my own mental health. I just thought if I was like brutally honest, I wouldn't get cast on the show. So I was like, yeah, I have anxiety, but like, it's fine. It's not bad, blah, blah, blah. So then I was not allowed my anxiety meds. Whereas other people in the house were. And then it got to like, I don't know, day 80 or something. And I was just losing my fucking marbles. Not sleeping at all, like not a wink. And, you know, they don't let you nap. So it's like, I was just literally, I felt like I was going insane. So in that regard, like I really did resonate with Paloma. I was watching her on the screen and it was like, I get it. I get that feeling. And I went up into the DR and I was like, please, I was like begging, like desperately begging for meds, like anything. I was like, please, like anything you can give me, please, please, please. Like I felt so desperate and yeah, I couldn't.
Still nothing.
No.
Wow.
But you know, they like anything that's an upper or a downer cannot be given because it can interfere with performance and we never know exactly when a comp is going to be. But I was like, please, like something to sleep in, a sleep aid, like anything, but no.
Interesting.
So it just, but like there were certain people that were on like a daily thing and like, you know, with whatever like Kat was on, helped too with like focus, you know, for competition. So then it built up resentment with other players in the game because it's like, well, that seems like an advantage, but it's like obviously something that she's prescribed by a doctor and needs. So, but it's like, but I'm prescribed something that I'm not allowed to have. So that was just, it's tough and it's tricky and I'm not the medic, so I can't
speak. Yeah. I wonder if the advantage moving or what to do moving forward is like, if you are prescribed something, it's an even playing field if everyone's allowed what they're prescribed.
Right. And I get the dangers of like letting, I get why production can't do that. And I get why the medics, you know, are very careful with it, but yeah.
It's interesting.
It could use some tweaking, yeah. The system.
And that was a conversation that no one was really having until mm-hmm. then, and especially now this year. Like, I know Janelle posted about it as well, and mm-hmm. that she wasn't allowed, whatever, she was prescribed. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if moving forward they're going to learn from, I mean, we've never seen anything like what happened this year.
No.
Ever.
I know.
To this degree.
Right.
So it's very interesting.
I'm happy. I'm not happy that it happened. But I'm happy that it's now a discussion mm-hmm. because it needs to be, because these are just not normal circumstances. I mean, a lot of us, like our season, a lot of us bonded also in the very beginning about our anxiety. So several of us didn't sleep at all for the first little while, didn't eat, couldn't eat. I like lost a bunch of weight and then gained it all back, like gained a bunch of weight and then lost a bunch of weight. One of Nicole actually heard the wardrobe department through the walls talking about me being like, oh shoot, I'm so worried about Holly. Not because they were worried about me, but because I was losing so much weight that my outfits wouldn't fit. So yeah, they didn't, you know, it's not like they were worried about like, oh, is she okay? She's losing weight like crazy. It was like, oh no, her clothes aren't going to fit her. So I was like, I'm like 5'6". I was like maybe 100 pounds on finale night, like maybe like 99 pounds. I shit you not, like, literally
my goal weight.
So thin. Just no. Just girl. That's not healthy. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Just the stress. I didn't sleep or eat.
That I've heard that from people who go to the jury house, that they're like, mm-hmm. as they're recovering or not, but
yeah,
that's their time to do so. Yeah. They lose a lot of weight because they're like still reeling from mm-hmm. the experience and like, yeah. Oh my God.
It's like
God.
The halfway house. Yeah. Jury helps like acclimate people to the real world, I think.
Yeah. And you didn't have that.
Yeah. It's weird. I never thought about that going into it either. Just like the harsh contrast of the environment of Big Brother to just like thrust out into the real world. I was like, I need a minute. And then we went straight to Vegas and I was just like, guys, no.
Yeah.
Like you guys have been like hanging out and like laying outside and drinking and
watching
TV. I've been wrapped up in the hardest part of the game. Because also, that last chapter, I always say the game is like in chapters. You know, not everybody experiences the same elements of it. So that last chapter, whew, that was like nothing I can describe. It was a different feeling.
And your final three worst. Was you, Mickey, and
Nicole.
Oh, Nicole.
Cliff was fourth. Yeah, Tommy was fifth.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That was...
It was the last week was the most fun. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
Final four was miserable.
Yeah.
So much anxiety. But then final three, it was just like, well, there's nothing we can do now. We had so much fun.
Were and you they worried let us play games, at finally. Four that you were going to get cut?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I had like sacrificed myself. I said, I threw that comp to Cliff and Nicole and like said, I will take fourth. I said, if I get fourth, I will be happy with it. Angela Rummins got fourth. I respect the heck out of her. I'd be happy to place the same as her. And I was like, so that's why I threw that in the editing. They made it look like Mickey like gaslit me into dropping. And like, of course he was like trying to gaslight me, but I made the deal. And they also made it look like his lie is what got Tommy out. But like, no, that was his lie was what got me headed out the door. And Cliff and Nicole came up and told me like, hey, you're going home. And I lost it on them. And I was like, no, we made a deal.
Wow.
Anyway, and like saved my own ass. But in that moment is when I made a deal. I was like, I'll do whatever. And so I was like, I'll throw that comp. And then threw the comp. And which people give me shit for. They're like, why did you throw that? And I was like, because I made a deal. And I know a lot of people wouldn't do that, but it was a gamble making the deal. It was a gamble holding up my end of the deal. And it would have been a gamble if I had gone back on my deal.
Yeah.
You know, because then they would have been coming at me with a vengeance. And so, anyway, and I made a deal with them to get Jackson out. But, of course, that wasn't aired.
Ugh.
It would have been great TV, guys. I was trying to backstab my boyfriend.
Yeah.
They made me look like I was just, like, following him around like a puppy dog instead. I'm like, no, I was calculating moves to get whatever.
I think that would have been, like, the redemption of the season.
Oh, well.
Wow.
Next time.
It's funny that you mentioned Angela, because when you were talking about not wanting to show your strengths in the beginning, I do see how you were potentially cast as, like, an Angela archetype. Yeah. Because you are, like, small but athletic.
And she got a similar edit.
Yeah, showmance her season, as well.
You know, it's like her showmance
went to the end.
You know, and he... Not that he didn't deserve, you know, he's an amazing player, but he took most of the spotlight, I would say, from my perspective.
Yeah, we definitely didn't get a lot of her personality shown through.
And not to say, like, he took the spotlight, but just she...
That was her storyline in editing.
She deserved more credit,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, and she's getting it now on the challenge.
Yeah, I'm super glad to see
which
that.
Which is great. I'm happy that... I actually talked with Tyler in person and he was like, I would have never done the challenge, but it's fun seeing her on a show by herself.
Totally.
And maybe we'll see you one day.
We'll see. I don't know. I think I was too much of a brat. Yeah. I don't know if they'll bring me back. We'll see.
Never know.
We shall see.
Tyler's already been on Big Brother twice.
I know. Yeah. He went. And it's weird too, because like going back on Big Brother is just so different. Not that I would know, but you know, I mean, I have friends that have, you know, David and Nicole went. And so I've gotten to chat with them about it. And like when Nicole got evicted, I went and met her at the airport. So,
wow,
yeah, it was a lot of tears. We just sat on the curb and just like cried together.
That was brutal.
Yeah,
she was such a fan favorite. To go back, everyone was so excited. The redemption that we wanted for her to go so early.
I know. It's hard, too, because with those shows, if you start out, like, so just beloved, it's a gamble going back. Because, like, will you stay up here? You know,
very similar conversations with friends of mine who were asked to do the challenge CBS, who didn't do it. So I'm not spilling any tea. Yeah. They never went on the show.
Yeah.
But a conversation that I had with a couple of them was, you are flying very high.
Yeah.
You have a lot to lose. And you could lose it. Mm-hmm. You could not, but you could lose it. And if you're already sort of at a peak,
right,
I wouldn't rock the boat. If you have something to prove, great, but you don't, because people already really like you.
Yeah.
And it's a risk to go on a show, and we're seeing a lot of drama with that show right now, to throw yourself in that and maybe not come out a hero in that story.
Yeah, totally. No, I agree. It's a risk. But I'm like, you know, I would go back on one of them probably, depending on what show. Because I'm like, it's not like I was like that loved. I got a lot of hate. So I'm like,
yeah, you can
nothing
do it
to lose.
Over. Yeah.
Nothing to lose. I'd go back.
I would ask what you would do differently, but
I don't know. No showmances.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. We're watching actually right now on the feeds of BB24 a showmance unfold.
Budding.
We've got Kyle and Alyssa.
Kyle and Alyssa.
They've kissed.
Oh no, guys, run.
Everyone run. Kyle's mom is commenting, the Mormon mom.
Is she in support or does she
hate
it?
She seems mortified.
I'm sure.
She's like, I'm deleting Twitter. I can't watch anymore. She's like, and you can tell she's like not in a, she doesn't disapprove
That's
of
so
Alyssa.
Funny. Yeah, but just
she's
like,
just like,
it's a
oh
weird
my gosh,
thing.
I'm watching my Mormon son make out with someone
on national television. Yeah. Yeah, that was, I don't recommend that for any parents.
So if you could talk to Kyle and Alyssa right now, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them that when production tells you that the cameras are not on you when you're together, they're full of shit. I learned that the hard way.
They're on. Look,
they
for the
literally lied. I went
light.
Into the DR and I asked. And they were like, no, you're good. I was not good. They're evil. Yeah, that was rough. So, yeah, I would tell them just like always assume all of the cameras are on you because they will be. 1,000%.
Well, that's so interesting because, like...
But, and I would say run away from each other. Focus
from
on your game.
What I've read on Twitter, I'm outing myself. I follow Spoiler King. I don't know if he's real. She's real. I don't know. We've DM'd a couple of times. Uh-huh. Seems like a very nice person. Okay? So, if they're real, whatever. They've never missed thus far. It okay. sounds like production has been talking to Kyle about... Oh, Showmances get a lot of airtime. Showmances da 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 da. Which,
sure
even
do.
If that's not true, because Spoiler King is fake, do not come for me
yeah.
in the comments.
Yeah.
If that's not true per se, it is true in a general sense where we know this. Kyle might already know this. Showmances mm-hmm. do get a lot of showtime. It's something they're going to have a whole segment about them kissing,
yeah.
I'm sure. And he went from wanting to get this girl eliminated this week. She was on the block because he suggested it.
Yeah.
He had no problem. He was going back and forth about using the veto.
Yeah.
And now they're making out. It's kind of...
I mean, game and personal, you know? I mean, and there is... Yeah, I don't know. That's a little rough, though.
I know. Well, she's going to get out. I mean, from the perspective of someone who was in a showmance with someone who was winning a lot of comps,
mm-hmm.
if you went back and watched... Jackson wanting to get you out of the house.
I'd be pissed. Yeah.
You'd be upset.
Yeah. Oh,
I think
sure.
I'd be upset.
For sure.
So I'm like, this is already, we're off to a rocky start.
Yeah. It's hard too because, okay, so here's my take on showmances. Like, it can, well, first of all, I have a lot of takes. First of all, yeah, obviously people want to see showmances. It's very much pushed on you from the start. Like, literally from, like, I literally felt like I had to be in a showmance or like basically agree to being in one to even be on the show, which is so gross in retrospect that as a female, like that's where my value lies. Really? Like you wouldn't have just cast me to be a fucking badass from Wyoming who can like survive in the wilderness with nothing and like who's done all of these cool, powerful things that I talked about in my interviews. That's not enough. You need me to just be in a relationship anyway. So I felt this pressure to be in a showmance. And like, you know, once we were in there, a lot of my questions were like always about the guys. So I was just like, oh my gosh, whatever. Plus you get really bored. And so I was like, well, there's nothing else to do. But I think if you're going to get into a showmance, like it can be really beneficial. Also, it can lead to great things. I mean, look at Jeff and Jordan and Bailey and Swaggy, like, and Jess and there's so many that are amazing. So people can really develop good relationships, but there has to be this good foundation if you want to trust them. And Kyle and Alyssa have had such a rocky start and like they do have this basis of a friendship because that is most important. Like with Mickey, I knew even like before anything happened with us because they in production or in the final edit, it made it seem like we got together really quick, but we were the last of any showmance to get together. We were like way later. Wow. Way later. I mean, 3 weeks in, which is a long time in Big Brother time when you're spending 24/7 together. But so we had this like trust already established. So I knew that like no matter what happened, he would have my back 1,000%.
Yeah.
So I also could use him as a shield. So when that started, that was very strategic on my end because I was like, I'm fine because everybody will go after this dude
yeah.
Before me. And so if it's hard because it's like in Alyssa's case, it's not really a strategic thing to get into a showmance because you can't even trust him.
Yeah.
So you're risking your mental state, you know, because it also is, you know, relationships cause inevitable drama. So I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. So you were in a showmance and you gave us your perspective on that. You were also a pageant girl.
Yeah.
And we have a pageant girl on this season, which I'm noticing we do every year. And I never
There's
realized
a lot.
That.
Yeah, Bailey.
Aza did pageants.
Yeah, duh, Aza.
Mm-hmm. I like saw a clip. I actually forgot that she did a pageant. She doesn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
But I saw a clip of the live feeds last year where she was like showing like DX and Claire and I think Xavier like how to walk. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot.
Uh-huh.
Every year it's like there's one.
Yeah.
And
with a lot of shows, The Bachelor casts pageant girls too.
Yeah. We have Taylor, mm-hmm. who was getting a lot of flack. And the excuse people were giving was, oh, she's a pageant girl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, I mean, you and Azza are kind of the exceptions. It's not like we've seen pageant girls get, like, they're not, like, known for getting really far in the game just for doing pageants. So
no, it's, if anything, it puts a target on your, or not a, it doesn't put a target on your back. It's just, like, people don't like pageant girls.
Yeah.
As a whole, like, it's not a good thing. I don't know. It, not that it's not a good thing. It's a great thing. Being in it, I think it's amazing. I'm like,
but for a game,
such a supporter of the Miss USA organization. But just like, and even like making friends, there's such a bad reputation for pageant girls that, yeah, it can rub people wrong from the start. So,
right.
Like, it made me, you know, for me, I saw the cast announced and I was like, boom, Taylor, that's my girl. Automatic, somebody to root for. And like, I was thrilled she was on it. When she, like, immediately announced that she was a pageant girl, I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. Not that it is an excuse for any of the treatment that she's gotten, because there's absolutely zero excuse, and it's incredibly messed up. But there's a lot of, like, okay, to me, silence is the highest form of currency in the Big Brother game. And that's what a lot of people don't understand in a lot of ways. So I'll use Taylor's experience as an example. Things like talking about her experience with pageants, showing off her outfits, stuff like that. It's like that had potential to rub people the wrong way, and it did. And then they just like ran with it to the absolute extreme. And with different people, it might not have had that reaction, you know, but it's like, you can't ever be too careful, you know? So yeah. Like, I didn't talk at all about pageants. People didn't even know I did pageants. People also didn't know I was a rock star model. Kat told them I was, because anyway, and people were like, oh, you were? I didn't know that. Why did only Kat know that? And I was like, I don't know why only Kat knew that, Kat. Yeah, because I obviously told her 5 minutes ago just now, and it's not like we know each other. But like, and I didn't tell people about like doing survival courses in the wilderness. Like, I didn't tell people about academic scholarships. I didn't tell people about like working in tech and litigation software. I didn't tell people a lot of things.
Yeah.
Being quiet in that game is so valuable, you know? And once you get your bearings and once you understand the pieces of the chessboard that you're given, which are the players, then, I mean, you can start telling more and more. But I don't know, especially in the early stages when you don't really know these people, just...
Yeah,
zip
totally.
It.
Do you think she was like using that as like a way to maybe like build some sort
Trust? Yeah, and like building rapport. So I can't fault her for it, and I'm not faulting her for it. It's really shitty that it led to, and I don't know what all led to this, but like that it possibly had some part in that. It's also like you do want to get close to people and you want to build rapport and you want them to trust you. So it's hard to decipher what you should and shouldn't like open up to people about, you know?
Yeah. And I think we went from like such an interestingly close season in BB23 mm-hmm. that if you watch that, which it sounds like Taylor started watching Big Brother like about halfway through the season and saw the cookout and how close they were mm-hmm. and then kind of got into Big Brother, to see that and think you're entering into that environment.
She did not enter that
with a totally different group of people. And I think, this goes back to like being a long time fan of the game and a short time fan, which is totally. There's nothing wrong with either. We saw Hannah Chadha as a good example. She started watching just before she applied. Yeah. She also lied about what she did, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting. Mm-hmm. But if you know the game really well and you've maybe watched a ton of seasons, you can see the differences in all of them and how different the people are year to year.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking, oh, I watched 23, look how nice, and they are still hanging out to this day.
Right. And you're like, I can just go in and be my full self.
Yeah.
Which, why would you not?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's sad because, yeah, you can't even fault her for thinking that.
And then all of a sudden,
it's like people are like, I mean, vultures. And just on her, it's so interesting to me because I understand the idea of, like, pinpointing things about someone in a game like Big Brother and using that as, like, okay, I need to keep my eye on you because you did this. I need to keep my eye on you because you're a lawyer. I need to keep my eye on whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, they weren't doing that to anyone else.
And it's not like it was even strategy. It's not like they were, their approach was not game-based.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed very personal. And that's what's so heartbreaking about watching it, is it just seems mean.
Yeah, it just seems so mean.
And I don't know. It's hard to, like, explain the dynamic in the house, too, because, like, again, like, we don't know everything. And being on the outside of it, like, I don't ever want to speak ill of somebody because they're going to get enough hate when they come out of the house. Like, I don't ever want to contribute to it, but it just, so many things just seem very inexcusable this season, and it just has been really sad and frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm glad things are starting to flip around. I hope they stay on the up and up for her.
Same. Things are looking good.
I hope her alliance stays and doesn't.
It's looking good. Flip anything crazy. It's interesting having you on at this time because a lot of people are comparing this season to 21.
I figured they would.
What do you think about?
I don't know, man. Well, see, our season, the weird part. Also, this is why I'm like, well, we obviously don't see everything, but they have, like, they've had a lot of, like, very personal fights. People are going to, like, call bullshit on this when I say it. We said so many times through our season, oh my gosh, people are going to hate us because we are so boring. So many times we said, we're so boring because we all love each other and we're over here singing Kumbaya, doing our little gratitude circles, talking about how much we love each other. America's going to think we're so boring. Were we wrong? Like, and it really was, though. There were people that didn't get along, individuals who didn't get along. But, like, as a whole, everybody was like, I love you, I love you. And, like, I still do. I love everyone except for the two guys, you know? Or, like, okay, love is a strong word for, like, but no, I do, whatever. Aside from the two guys. But, like, I don't know. And maybe also part of that is, like, my naivete, because I did really love everyone and was so close with, like, everyone that it was just like, oh shit. When we saw the edited version, we were like, whoa.
Yeah. But it didn't even feel like,
even, like, you know, like the day 44 blow up and, like, the Taco Tuesday. It's like we went on the next day, everybody was like, you know, BFFs.
Yeah.
So it's just not, you know, all things are not as they appear.
Yeah.
It's like fighting with siblings.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe it. Because you literally become so close in that house. You literally become a family. And so, yeah, I would equate it to fighting with my sisters.
That's so funny that you put it that way, because a lot of people on Twitter have been commenting, Taylor, God, I just love this girl, has been looking at the cameras on the live feeds after someone has screamed at her. And been like, I hope you guys aren't mad at this person. I hope that you don't, like, cancel them on Twitter.
Oh, that just makes me want to jump over the fence and hug her.
You're like, what? But she's probably feeling a similar way to you, where it's like, well, we're all just friends while we're watching it happen, going, this is a terrible situation. This person is screaming at you. They're horrible. Yeah. And you're like, oh, but we all love each other.
Yeah.
And you're like, how can you think that? Like, you're crazy. But yeah, again, it's that we're kind of on the outside of it. I mean, we don't know even really just,
like,
what
that's what I'm saying,
is
like,
happening.
The energy. And also, like, mind you, me saying this does not excuse any behavior.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I'm just saying, like, the energy, and it really is like siblings. Granted, and I've said some messed up stuff to my siblings that's also not okay, and vice versa, you know? So it's like, it's not that the behavior is okay, but the closeness is there that people won't understand.
Yeah, it's like that shared experience thing. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this with some of my trauma friends. Bond. Yeah, who have been on either the Big Brother or another show, where yeah. it's like, you might not be, you know, friends with this person after. Like, mm-hmm. I hope that Taylor is not kicking it with Daniel and Nicole when she gets out of this house, just right. for her own sanity. Right. But you have this kind of shared experience. If mm-hmm. you were to be at a reunion or they yeah. go to Hearts of Reality and they're all there, it's kind mm-hmm. of like, hey, how's it going? So good to see you. Maybe they get dinner, whatever. Yeah. And then that's kind of it. And mm-hmm. because they were on the same season, they were yeah. on this show together. And maybe that's what it turns into after a lot totally. Of healing and conversations. And but
yeah.
Yeah.
Because there, that will happen. That is one thing that our cast, I will say, one thing that made me really proud of my cast is, like, we really took a lot of time. Not everyone. And that's why some relationships wavered for me after the show. But for the most part, we took time to, like, really be introspective and take advantage of the mirror that Big Brother gives you. It magnifies you for yourself to really get an outside perspective of how you treat people, how you act as a person, how your actions have repercussions. And, like, we really got to examine, and we had deep, long conversations with each other, with our family. Like, we took that opportunity to grow and take accountability and learn and try to correct and try to better, you know, put more good out into the world, which is a really awesome opportunity. That's one of the most valuable things that I've gotten back from Big Brother, to be honest. Like, it really forced me to get to know myself.
Yeah.
And so I hope that every season takes that opportunity, regardless of how the season plays out. Like, I really hope that people use that as a tool for growth in whatever way. So
that's great.
Anyway.
So
if that made sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm, like, talking in circles.
No, totally. We will wrap it up. Sorry. I know you. Okay. Yeah. So
like, I have some event with my little cowboy boots on. Gotta go.
So, final thoughts on BB24. What, like, who do you think is going to win? What's your end result? Who do you think is going to get America's favorite house guest?
Oh, Taylor AFP for sure. In what world would Taylor not get AFP? Yeah, right?
Agreed.
Like, I'm voting for her. That's a lock. Yeah, same.
It's week 4 and I already know who I'm voting for. Yeah, for AFP.
Seriously. Like, she would have to, like, do something crazy wonky to not get it. So yeah, and I'll continue to obviously root for her. I think it's really hard. I haven't been watching live feeds. I haven't been tuned in as much because it is, honestly, it's a little hard to watch after being on it because I'm not watching through the lens of a fan anymore, and it's just different for me. So it took me a long time to even watch. Like, I would get, it was weird. I was getting triggered every time I would try to watch it. So anyway, it's harder for me to, like, get super invested, but I could see, like, I like Monty, I like Turner, I obviously like Taylor. I could see, oh, I love Michael.
Same.
I love him.
He's my winner pick.
Yeah, and so I want to say I want to have him as my winner pick. It's just, like, if I were a betting man, I don't know, because if I were in the house, I would be after him.
Yeah, of course.
So, Ian, you know, vibes. Like, that's why, yeah, totally. Ian vibes. That's also why I targeted Sam and got him out on my first HOH. Sam was winning vetoes, and Sam was, so granted, he wasn't, like, really in an alliance, but he could have floated his way. He was so charismatic. Everyone loved Sam. He was winning vetoes, yet, like, didn't have a target on him. So I got his ass out. So, you know,
yeah.
he if he can dip down under the radar somehow, he would be my winner pick. Who else do I like? Yeah. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Who am I forgetting? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's...
Those are I think that's ones.
Who.
Yeah.
I wish I had more girls to say right now, because I'm always rooting for the gals.
I know. You know? It's rough in these streets this year. We've got Taylor, though.
I know. Yeah, so
Brittany's nice.
Taylor's got a whole, yeah, Brittany's nice. Taylor is like, gotta hold it down for the girls, Taylor.
I know last like, year on. I was like so excited that like a lot of boys went home and like pre-jury.
Yeah.
And this year I'm like, if it was all girls, I'd know, be fine.
I know. And I'm like, I hate that. I always root for the girls, but maybe things will turn around. Maybe things will take a turn.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything bad about any of the girls. I'm not saying bad anything bad about anyone. I'm just rooting more for certain men, unfortunately.
When we all see you on finale night, don't come for us.
Yeah. Don't come for me. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think it'll, I'm really excited for how things are going to play out from here on out. I'm hoping we got personal drama out of the way and it can just focus on game. And I am excited. I'm excited to see their gameplay actually get to shine through more.
Yeah.
Which we're finally getting to really see some serious competitors.
I agree. So, once we hit jury, things really take a turn. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll get out just the last few of those toxic people.
For sure. And then I think it's going to be a really good season, actually. People were complaining a lot in the beginning. And I'm like, you know, I think this might be a good season.
It was me. I'm the complainer.
Well, you and a lot of people.
I was like, this is a tragedy.
But it always starts out slow.
Yeah.
You know, especially with live move-ins.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
Yeah. We aren't used to that.
Because really, it takes a
getting
while.
Getting to know phase, yeah.
It takes a while to build up. Like, we really didn't have game drama, like, extreme drama until day 44.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they tried blindsiding me. Bastards.
Didn't work.
Didn't work.
Final two. Got him.
I wish they had seen more of that. I wish a lot of things were left in the final edit. But like, I wish that moment, because man, I should have won an Oscar for that performance, convincing the whole house that Kat and I didn't know each other, even though she explicitly had told people that we did.
Wow.
We still made the whole house believe we didn't.
That's crazy.
But they didn't show that. So whatever.
Oh,
they didn't
God.
Show a lot.
I mean, that, yeah, that's so wild. It didn't fit into their narrative because they already had the people who knew each other.
And I don't know, I don't know if they knew we knew each other, because Kat and I saw each other in casting and immediately, like, unfollowed each other and stuff. So, like, we left no trace.
Yeah, wow.
Because we were afraid that if they knew, that we wouldn't both get on.
Right, one of you would get.
And she was, like, texting me and, like, DMing me, and I was ignoring her because I was like, bitch, don't ruin my game. And then we were both in Vegas at the same time, and she like cornered me in the bathroom and was like, I saw you in finals. And I was like, I know, but don't say anything.
Wow.
So we were like, zip, like, hush, hush about it.
Wow.
And so like the whole time we like went and we're like, am I going to see her? Like, am I going to see her? And we walk in the house and she's like, oh, there you are. Hi, my name's Holly. So,
wow.
But then we like immediately formed a final two. So I was like, that could have been such a cool storyline, but they didn't focus on that at all.
Of course not.
Because, yeah, they already had people that knew each other. But I do wonder to this day if they knew or if that was an oopsie. I think it was an oopsie.
I bet it was an oopsie.
It must have been.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they literally, there was
that,
like,
that would have been a storyline.
There was no storyline, especially, like, the whole, like, love triangle and stuff. Like, that could have been a really funny storyline. And the fact that, like, the two of us had a final two, and we were, like, plotting to get out the guy that, like, we both, like, had dated.
Wow.
Like, why? That was so, it could have been so epic, but whatever.
Oh, that is actually so crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were good. We plotted some fun stuff together. And, like, we knew, and we were in different alliances, so, like, I literally always knew what was going
on. That could have actually been so cool.
I know. I wish they had shown that, because literally it was like, she'd go to Cliff's Angels and then come and tell me everything, and I'd go to Six Shooters and come tell her everything. Like, we, I don't know why that.
The final two that never was.
I know. Yeah. So then when they tried to blindside me and get her out, Oscar-worthy performance, and got her to stay.
I do remember vaguely there was, like, people were, like, yelling at you being, like, you knew Kat outside of this?
Oh,
who was that?
Jack.
That's right.
So he's the one that got airtime.
That's right. He was, like, and you were, like, no.
And I was like doing my makeup. I was like, because we're getting ready for live show. It was right before Live Eviction.
I remember this now.
And I was just like, no, there's a meme.
He was like, you know each other and you know each other. And because they thought.
They thought we'd gone to Stagecoach together.
But then they think someone else knew. Well, you no. both? Was it like, it was like you, Kat, and...
They were suspicious about Sis because Sis had been at Stagecoach together. Or Sis had also been at Stagecoach, which I knew also because I went straight from Stagecoach, pulled an all-nighter. I went to Neon Carnival till 5 a.m. And just like, I went to Stagecoach sober because I knew I had to go to finals. So I went, pulled an all-nighter, left Palm Springs at 5 a.m., drove home, went straight to the hotel for finals, brought my dog, got in trouble for that. He pooped on the production office floor. I went straight to my psych exam, saw Sis. We both had wristbands on still from Stagecoach. I fell asleep during my psych exam because I was so tired. Anyway, they made me redo it because I like said that I like heard voices or something because I was just like answering and falling asleep.
Oh my god!
Anyway,
so that's
so I
how
knew,
you
that
knew
I knew Sis had been at Stagecoach.
Wow!
But
the things you don't.
But I didn't
see
know her.
TV. Yeah.
Know. Yeah, there were some good. There were a lot of good. They missed some good storylines.
Yeah. What were they thinking?
I know. Ugh. Anyway. But it happens.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing all of that with us.
Anytime. I'll probably get in trouble for some of the stuff I said. I don't know. Whatever.
Look, if CBS is watching
my
this,
contracts
hire me to work
then,
on Big
yeah,
Brother.
Yeah, right? Then that's a big win for you. So maybe.
Add me to the press list. I emailed you this week.
Right?
Well, thank you so much.
Right,
this was such a blast.
Anytime.